Scott Williams Show continues
on Dublin's Q102.
Have your say. Call 850-6597 or text 57102 for 20 cents.
Yep, 850-6597 on the phone. Dermot Jewell, the Chief Executive of the Consumers Association of Ireland, is here. Look, there he is.
Good evening, Scott.
And you're very welcome back, Dermot.
Thank you. Nice to be back.
Delighted to see you. Got rid of that, whatever it was you had last
time. Oh, yeah. It's rotten.
I mean, not only could we not hear you very well, everybody's keeping miles away from him. because he was very slightly. That, what's that word, Eric? Very slightly. Yeah, very slightly. You know, man's right. Look, he's in great order. And he's at 850-6597. Very infectious. That's the word I was trying to think of. Not just a sense of humour. 57102 for 20 cent on the text with eMobile, Arkham's mobile phone service, if you have a consumer problem for Dermot. Dermot, we're asking people today about bad service, you know, bad service providers and just all of that stuff. And here's some of the people say. UPC, said Mary on Facebook.com, Dublin's Q102. Greyhound, a very close second. Greyhound, on post. I paid €35 to mind my mail when I'm a 2-week holiday. I wanted to arrive back to a porch full of post. Talk about advertising, the house is empty.
Wow.
Needless to say, I complain. And a lot of posts have since gone missing, unquote, and gets delayed. I hate that they can do this and get away with it. It's the Talis sorting office in particular. Now, wow. It's not normally our thing, but I think you need to talk to somebody, Olivia, about that. If you have a feeling that's happened to you.
Absolutely, and the regulator there is Comreg.
Well, that's Comreg as well.
Yeah, as well, yeah. So have a word there.
If you're having a problem, that's the way you should. But generally speaking, Darren, what I want to ask you was people's, and the obvious ones, the government and all that, was people's expectations of service, are our expectations higher now, or do we care less since the recession hit?
I think we care more since the recession hit because it's everything is to a degree a little bit more precious. And there is an expectation that if I have a problem, there's going to be somebody who will have to sort it out because, believe you me, I've paid enough for it. And therein lies the dilemma. It's always been bubbling under, but I think because there's so much pressure on both consumers and some of the service providers, the level of, I suppose, of tolerance is not what it used to be. And, well, not no patience. I must be honest. I honestly think that it's a wake-up call for a lot of the service providers that they got away with things a little too easy for too long and they need to step up to the mark, and many of them can't. Mm. I mean, you look at the calls and texts that we're getting. Extraordinary.
Interesting, though. So that's the question. Who's the worst service provider in your, not view, but in your experience?
I'm pretty satisfied with the service providers I have. They're all okay.
I think Three mobile phone, they're just awful. Every time you get through to them, they're really unhelpful and make things very difficult for you.
I think the majority of phone companies and any of those companies that when you ring, you know you're talking to somebody in India or wherever in the world, they're all atrocious. You're just waiting and it's all so automated. And when you get there, nobody can really help you. You're sent rings around. I'd say most of them would be useless.
I would have said UPC or NTL was what they were at the time. I've had horrendous problems with them, and I know they're now a new provider now, but I haven't moved to the new provider because of the situation with the old provider, so I can't say anyone else, but obviously NTL for me is a no.
Well, from my experience, I'm an Aircom customer at the moment. I've had a lot of trouble with them. Very slow connection and very poor customer service.
The Scott Williams Show. Text 57102 for 20 cents or call 01 850 6597.
That's us, 850-6597 on the phone. Anything surprise you there, Darren?
Not one piece.
Really?
No.
Oh, okay. By email, remember, queries 850-6597 on the phone, 57102 for 20 cent on the text, and we will get straight back to you. I was previously a Meteor customer up until the 25th of December, I think that's Christmas Day, when I moved mobile networks to Vodafone. You moved on Christmas Day. Okay. In August, I explained to Meteor that I'd noticed my contract length and my thing had increased from 12 months to 18 months, and after going back to the shop where I bought the phone in and also after contacting customer care again, I was told that I'd be put back into a 12-month contract and that this is a matter that will be resolved internally. All sounds good so far, isn't it?
It does.
In December last, I went into the shop where I bought the phone in order to obtain a copy of my contract, as I was advised by customer care that the shop must have a copy of it for the duration of the contract. News to me, but again, seems fine. When I explained this to the manager of the store, I was told that we don't keep copies. but I'll contact head office to get a copy of the contract for you, and then I can give it to you. I never received a return call from it, but called the customer care team again, and they explained that there was an issue with the shop where I bought the phone, and they were inputting my contract. She said, I know it's been put in my account, stating my contract was to end in Jan 12. And I would not need to worry about anything online saying it was on an 18-month contract. All clear, okay?
Right.
Subsequent to that meteor, being told that this, also being told that I would only be applicable for an early termination fee up to Jan 12 from the time I leave the network. I received a final bill in January for about €28, which I paid in full. On the 28th of Feb, I was deducted €286.78 from my credit card, which, according to the Meteor customer care team, was an early termination fee. I explained to these people on Friday, the 2nd of March, that I was not applicable to this fee as outlined by your colleagues prior to me leaving the network. After speaking with his colleague, he said there was a mess up with the contract from the store, and he'd speak with a supervisor and contact me either that evening or Saturday at the latest. I rang customer support again this afternoon, that's today, 5th of March.
Right.
Having not received a call back, I spoke with another service agent who said she will contact the store where I bought the phone and they'll call me back, but I've not received any response. Gary Maguire says, can you help me? I know I'm not entitled to this money back, but it seems to be going around and around and around. Short of going down the legals, I'm running out of options and patience. What can I do? Help me, Dermot.
Well, Gary, the reality is, I think I just picked up there that last amount was deducted from his credit card.
Yeah. Section 14?
Absolutely. Yeah. What you need to do, Gary, is get in touch with your credit card company. And just to explain, under the terms of the Sale of Goods and Supply of Services Act, which governs most consumer contracts, which you have, there's a section in it, Section 14, and it makes a finance house, which is a credit card company, equally liable with the retailer to resolve a problem that's there. So, when I say equally liable, all you need to do, or what you need to do, is write the detail as you've outlined in that very same text and send that to your credit card company. Give them a call, ask them for the email address to which you can send that detail, and explaining to them that you will if you can't get this credited back by the company within the next number of days, that you want the credit card company to credit you back and retrieve the amount of money paid and taken through your credit card.
And that's the way to
do it. And that's how you do it.
Yeah. Because we have found in our experience on the show, and we tell people to do this, we find that retailers, shops, mobile companies, they don't seem to ignore the Visa companies way they ignore you.
Yes, yes, yes.
So there is the advice guide. Now, Cleena's in Monkstown. Hello, Cleena.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. Now, let's see what was Cleena's problem. Cleena has been a happy customer with UPC, yeah?
Yes, indeed,
for 5 long years, Cleena.
Yeah.
Wow.
She got a call from one of their sales team last September selling her the 3-in-1 pack. This is where you get the TV with the phone and the broadband all in one package, yeah?
Yeah.
All right. So the saving wasn't huge, but you were happy with Ericom, but you decided to go ahead because we're all trying to save a few quid.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, you did it all over the phone.
Yeah.
No contract, no documentation, no nothing.
Correct.
All the new equipment.
Yeah.
Because they told you I guess that's router and all this kind of carry-on was not suitable. Yeah.
Yes.
And it sat on the kitchen table for 2 weeks. Actually, no idea how to install it.
No.
Well, neither would I, Cleena, to be honest. Now, the router, Dermot, wouldn't work because the router from Aircom would be on a phone line and the router with UPC would be coming down the fibre.
Absolutely.
So we do accept that.
Yes.
That there would be a difference.
Yeah.
Your phone wasn't ported over.
No.
You remained at Aircom.
Yeah.
You kept your broadband at Aircom.
Absolutely, yeah.
And did you get charged by Aircom?
No, well, I continued to use Aircom, so UPC never really kicked in, if you know what I mean. I just continued to watch my TV
just
on.
Just watch your telly. But yeah. did they charge you for broadband?
Yeah, they charged me for everything, even though I didn't use it. So,
great. Nice. Yeah.
So it wasn't plugged in, it was never activated, but I got these big bills for something that was never used.
And have you paid them any of these big bills?
No, absolutely not.
Are they insistent you should pay them?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
I paid for my TV because I continue to watch TV, so I just went down to the post office and paid my €22 for the TV part of the package.
So this thing was never ported over
properly? No, never.
Okay, so what do you do, Dermot?
Well, can I just ask, Cleena, what excuse have they put forward in all of this?
That I had their equipment, which cost them money to send out to me, to bike out to me, and it sat on my table.
God love you.
Yeah.
Ah, that's desperate. Look, this is anything but funny, and I appreciate it because
It's under €94 is what they're telling me. I
appreciate that.
Yeah.
We're just laughing because it sounds so ridiculous.
If I'm guilty of anything, it's not contacting them early enough to say, listen, I haven't a clue what's going on here. I can't install it.
And Dermot, could a consumer just get on and say, come and collect the stuff, or will I drop it off if I'm passing your office?
Oh, a consumer can, because...
Well, that's what I did.
You dropped it off?
You did?
That's what I did, yeah. Well, they cut me off first when they weren't getting the bills, getting the money paid.
Cut off your TV?
They cut off my TV, which was obviously to kind of let me know who was boss.
Lovely.
And then I rang up giving out about it, and then they reconnected the TV, and then 3 or 4 days later, they knocked it off completely, and then I just thought, I don't want anything to do with them anyway, so I watch telly now on Real Player, and they've probably done me a favour. I get earlier nights.
I like your style. Dermot, remember, we must talk to Clean about Sarah View. We have a plan for you. Keep going.
Okay, good. So that was it. So when I called him, when they cut me off the second time, I kind of rang up to moan about it, and they just said, you're aware of the terms and conditions. I said, listen, I've checked all my documentation. There's nothing about cooling off period. There's nothing about changing my mind or anything. And he said, your terms and conditions, believe it or not, are in the public domain. I never heard that expression before.
In the public domain.
So he said they don't send out documentation about that, that it was my job to log onto their website and check what my rights and entitlements were and weren't.
Damn it.
Okay. From the outset, you made the point there that there was a contract put in place in September.
Yes.
Now the reality of it is that the contract was not broken by you. It was broken by them because they didn't provide the service. They didn't link it up or log it on.
Yes.
And you questioned and queried this, and nothing happened.
Yes.
And for any expectation that you would just pay them to do absolutely nothing and provide nothing is totally ludicrous. And I must be honest, and I make no apology for this, I've had this attitude from this company before, and it's very, very unpleasant. And, you know, when you're talking about a quality of customer service, this does not reflect it. Look, rather difficult. The only thing I want to just clarify is, have you put any of this in writing, Cleaner?
Yes, but only at the weekend.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah.
But what I would just really, really urge you to do is, if you have not already done it, is make the point that you are not paying the account for a very, very specific reason, and that is that at no time did you ever receive any of the services that you had paid for.
Yeah, I specified that in my email.
Well, that's okay, because the important element here is that you do not end up with a bad credit rating because it would be claimed that you just didn't want to pay the bill.
Yes, because I've always paid, and I said that to them, look back on my records over the last 5 years. I'm not one of those people that doesn't
Very good.
Pay,
well, you've covered that off.
Yeah.
Now, what I would suggest you do as well now is send a copy of your letter to... you need to send this to the regulator, to Comreg.
Oh, yes, yeah, Comrade, yeah.
And make them aware of the fact that this is, if you like, a problem at a standstill through no fault of your own, and that you would be eager for them to advise how you should proceed.
How I should deal with it. Okay, yeah.
And for what it's worth now, I'm attending a meeting tomorrow with Comreg, and I'll certainly refer to your problem.
Okay, great.
That okay?
I'm just uncomfortable about getting nasty letters from...
Of course.
Yeah.
Whatever you call those debt collection agencies, and then I got a solicitor's one.
As Dermot says, Cleen, the thing to do is to watch your credit record. Now, just before you go, for you and everybody else, SaraView is the new service.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Sarah meaning free.
Yes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 channels in digital, all the Irish channels.
Yeah.
The aerial for the roof is about €25.
Okay.
And you buy it once and you pay nothing more.
Okay.
Ever.
If that helps.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, Cleena.
Listen, thanks very much for your
help. Take care, Cleena.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
Take care.
Yeah, Cleena there in Monkstown. Dublin's Q102. The Scott Williams Show. We're at 850-6597 on the phone, 57102 for just 20 cents on the text. Dermot Jules here in the studio. He is the Chief Executive of the Consumers Association of Ireland, Consumer Queries. And Frank is waiting there on Ashbourne. Hello, Frank.
Hello, Scott.
Frank, I hear you got sorted.
I did eventually, yes.
No, Frankie!
Way to go, Frank.
It was a long process, and I found out one or two things about Sky that I wasn't aware of.
All right, so you had the problem with the Sky Plus box.
I did. And basically the two options I was given was an engineer for €100 to come out and look at it, or upgrade to a Sky HD box. But the risk was that it was going to be €199 for the box plus €60 for the engineer. Which Sky UK were indicating.
Okay. So that was your dilemma. And
it was.
What did you want to do? Your box was faulty, but you wanted to stay as you were.
I did, yes.
Yeah, so we needed to get another box for Frank Dermott to keep him as he was. And his provider says, don't you want to go HD? And Frank said, not really, no. Much of that is free.
Happy man.
Oh. Anyway, what happened to Frank?
I was considering cancelling my account with Sky and maybe potentially reapplying as a new customer to take up one or two options.
Very good.
But I transpired that I can't do that because Sky is based in the UK. I'm effectively shut out as a customer for 12 months.
Okay.
So considering that option, then I said I'm going to cancel my account with you, and within a minute they came back with an alternative proposal.
I said I'm cancelling. They said, don't be so hasty, Frank. Here's a better idea. And what was the next offer?
The offer was for a total price of €39. I got a Sky Plus HD box for €29 and installation for €10. So basically a total of €30. €39.
Yep. Frankie, you the man.
Love it. Love it.
And is the box working well?
The box is working. My wife Lisa was there on Saturday for the installation, so she was more than happy to see it.
And of course you had it to watch the match yesterday.
I did. It was well worth the wait.
Soul destroying as that match was. But anyway, Frank, you got sorted. It's always a pleasure to hear someone
yes,
sorted.
Yes, indeed
out.
It is.
And can I just say, Dermot, well done, Sky.
Yes, yes. Yes, they got it right.
Well done, Sky. And well done, Frank. Take
All
care,
right.
Frank. All the
Thank
best.
You very much.
Cheers, Frank.
Bye-bye. Well done, Sky, for sorting Frank out. Simon is in Tala. Hey, Simon.
How are you doing, Scott?
Doing well. Now, Simon recently, Dermot, had repairs done to his car. New exhaust.
Yeah. That's correct.
He was charged how much for an exhaust in the parts of the labour?
It was actually a catalytic converter.
Oh, yes, the converter.
Yeah, I was given two options. One was from the main dealer. That was €950. That's with fitting.
Right, and so it was a converter, yeah.
Yeah, the converter. And the alternative option was the mechanic could fit a universal cap and make an adjustment for €650.
Right, so €900, either price is eye-watering. What kind of a car is it, Simon?
It's a Japanese car.
Okay, Japanese car that needed this done. Okay, so where was the problem? Which way did you go?
So basically I went with the cheaper option.
Okay.
And this was all in aid of to get it to pass the NCT.
Right.
So he'd given me a printout of his diagnosis and had passed in his garage. So I think 2 days later I had it NCT'd and it failed on the emissions.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought it back to him and I explained that it failed the NCT and I gave him the report. So he says, leave it with me. So he gave me a call a couple of days later and he said he couldn't figure it out. So I was kind of skeptical. I went to another mechanic and I asked him, could he do anything with the emissions? So he stuck it up on the ramp. And he looked up and he says, well, your catalytic converter, it's burnt out. He says, whoever put that on the car should have never done that.
What? The new converter?
The new converter, yeah, it burned out. This was only after about 3 weeks of use.
So it was burned out after 3 weeks of use. It wasn't put on burnt out?
No, no.
Okay.
Well, I didn't get in there and have a look myself, you know.
Okay, fine.
So I thought everything was fine, you know. So the mechanic says, no. He says, I wouldn't have put that on myself. To be honest with you, I would have put a slightly better one on and I would have done it for under €250.
Great to know.
Basically, what I'm left with is a broken catalytic converter and a high loan, you know. So I don't know, as regards refunds, can I go back to him and...
Well, Dermot, under the Sale of Goods and Supply of Services Act, is it reasonable for Simon to assume that an individual who purports to be a mechanic and an expert in fitting these cats to cars and quotes a price, is that Simon can believe this man, pay over the money and expect his car to be done right and passed the NCT. Is that a reasonable expectation by Simon?
It is, absolutely reasonable. Yeah. And that's the way it, you would expect things to be. And the fact,
so is that it?
Absolutely. Well, it should be. Simon, what happened when you went back to the garage and said, look, I know you don't know what's happened, but the fact is the converter's burned out. What happened next?
Your man's still thinking
about
it.
Well, I tell you, he sort of has me in a way that... And I went back to him with the report, and he says, look, you told me that would pass. He says, it failed, and it's worse than it ever was, actually.
Right.
And he says, no, excuse me. He says, I never told you that it passed. I told you that your catalytic converter was faulty. Now, it just so happens that it hasn't passed. It's something else, you know?
Okay, okay,
So he kind of has me in that aspect, you
know? Right.
But I suppose the all-important element of it is that having fitted the new converter... did he run any tests on it with the understanding that, I mean, let me put it this way. Before that car should have left, could have left the garage or should have left the garage, he should have run another diagnostic check to say, okay, that solved the problem. He obviously didn't.
Indeed, yeah.
So he obviously did not do that.
Yeah.
No, he ran the test. Well, obviously he didn't, but he ran the test and he gave me a printout and it passed. No,
yeah, but
I know there is ways around.
Okay. Yeah, well, there are. Yeah.
So, Simon, you went down to the NCT and it didn't pass. I want to focus, Dermot, on after 3 weeks' use, an independent specialist pronounced that the converter is dead.
Yes.
So, under the Sale of Goods and Supply of Services Act, where are we going here for Simon?
Well, you should be in a position to go back and say it's burnt out. Now, it's either one of two things: either A, the new unit wasn't of merchantable quality and wasn't fit for its purpose because it burnt out within a 3 week period.
Yeah.
Or the quality of the service wasn't sufficient to allow me to have an understanding that if I drove off in this car, the converter was going to fail because something else had happened. Now, I must be honest with you, Simon, the big problem here, and this is what I just want to get clarified, is were you driving the car for 2.5 weeks or 3 weeks before this happened?
I was. One of the things he said to me was, he says, don't book the NCT. He says, after he gave me the car back, he says, drive it for about a week.
Oh, right.
He says, and then bring it back to me and I'll retest it before you put it through the NCT. That's what made me skeptical initially, you know.
Okay.
And why didn't you go back to him, Simon?
Well, I went to a second mechanic to get a second opinion.
Why didn't you go back to him, the man who wanted you to come back?
Well, he was the guy that was kind of messing me about, you know.
But he said, drive it for a week and bring it back to you and I'll test it again.
Yeah, well, it failed.
I know.
I'd done the NCT and it failed.
Yeah, but you didn't give him a chance to check it out, though.
Did you go back after 3 weeks?
It's a very detailed story. I had an airbox fitted as well and a new sensor, and there was an NCT done in the middle of that. So he also said it would pass then as well, and it didn't. It failed. It was two times it failed.
So the same guy fitted a mass airflow sensor and?
And the an air filter, and a new air filter, the whole box.
The whole unit, the whole filter and the whole job.
Yeah, all in attempts to...
All emissions things. Now, so anyway, so the chap puts this thing on, which we said is not of merchant quality. It burned out after 3 weeks, as you explained. He wanted you to come back after a week because he wanted to test it again for you.
Yeah.
To make sure to get through the NCT.
Yeah.
That's all grand.